If you watch the news, they only put bad shit up there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They can't. The good stuff ain't gonna get the ratings. You want to keep your family together? Get off reality TV. And I didn't understand what he said because so far it'd been nice to us. And a year later, things turned around, and I said, "Damn, he said he warned me."
The concept of reality TV itself has always been questioned, as the line between what's real and what's staged is constantly blurred. I'm your host, Brian McIntosh. In our latest episode of For the Fellas, we are holding the mirror up and dissecting the reflection we are portraying to the world. And joining me on the couch, I have some fellas that are constantly living their reality on the big screen. First up, we have a reality TV legend. He's a father, husband, business mogul, and one of the faces that made Love & Hip Hop Atlanta and New York one of the longest running reality franchises in the game. Let's give it up for our guy, Man DC's.
Y'all supposed to clap.
I'm deserving a clap.
Yeah. Now, this next brother doesn't just tell jokes. He tells the truth. A legendary comedian, podcaster, and a voice of the South. You've seen him on stage on MTV's Wildin' Out, on screen on BET's College Hill, and riding up and down I-85 bringing nothing but laughs. Let's show some love for the one and only, Carlos Miller.
My boy, clap. That's right. There you go.
And finally, crossing the pond from the UK to our TV screens, Netflix brought him into our living room on Love is Blind and The Perfect Match, turning heartbreak into real love in front of millions of viewers. And now, he's engaged with a family on the way. A true reminder that black love is indeed global. Let's welcome my good bruv, Ali. My man. I'm gonna read some stats off for you guys, just so you kind of paint the scene real quick for our people watching, okay? A lot of people don't really realize this, but reality TV actually goes all the way back to 1948 with a show called Candid Camera. It aired on ABC. It was basically hidden cameras showing people pranks of their reactions. Later in 1973, PBS dropped An American Family, which many people call the true modern reality show. By 1992, MTV gave us The Real World, which a lot of folks would consider the blueprint for reality TV and how we watch today. Fast forward to the 2000s, and we're getting cultural game changes like Love & Hip Hop, where you've been a part of, BET's College Hill, which you've been a part of, and now we get the cultural phenomenon like Netflix's Love is Blind, which you've been a part of. So since the 2000s, unscripted reality TV is dominating ratings. A study shows that 7 out of 10 black people watch reality TV. That's well above the national average for races. So my question to you guys is, why is our culture so obsessed with reality television?
The connection. I guess it's one of those things where you just get to watch it and be like, well, if it was me, I would do this, or I would say this, or they couldn't play me like this. It's an emotional involvement with watching this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think when you start to let people in your life, they invest it too as well to see, you know, your progress as far as relationship, business-wise, and you know, your personality. Because for a while, we look at celebrities and we don't know them, right? We listen to their music, we don't know them. We feel connected to the reality star because, we hear them talk, we get to see they jokes, they corny, they cool, they not. You know, it's like some of them, like you said, it's the connections, they relatable. So yeah. I think that's why it's huge.
For sure.
Yeah. I second both of those sentiments. I think it's the relatability. It's like we can watch Marvel superheroes on TV, and as much as we want to be like them, we're not them. Whereas when it's the kind of everyday folk doing everyday things, there's more of a, like what you said, is like, oh, if I was in that position, I wouldn't have handled it that way, or I wouldn't do that. And it's like we feel more of a closeness, so we want to track what they're doing, and yeah, we see a bit of us in them.
And it's crazy because I feel like for reality television, you know, we used to have shows like, you know, like T.I. and Tiny, you know, we're showing the family. You know what I'm saying? We used to get like these, you know, positive kind of like family. Rev Run was another reality show where it's like we get to see these black families. But then somewhere there was a shift where it's like the industry started focusing on the drama, right? And that's where you were kind of getting the Kardashians, where it's like now we're getting drama and fights mixed in with the family atmosphere, and our culture just seemed to gravitate to it. Why do you think that is? That we just so obsessed with the drama?
I wish I knew.
People,
but yeah,
like
not
drama and arguing. Yeah, let me tell you.
Do you watch the news? If you watch the news, they only put bad shit up there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They can't. The good stuff ain't gonna get the ratings, right? The bad stuff, you know, they say bad news travel faster, right? So people love to see how people get through certain situations, or it makes them feel better about their situation. right? Because they look at someone and say, well, my, at least mine ain't worse as his, or, you know, it's just, you know, look at Jerry Springer. He got rich off of showing the crazy shit. You go for the ratings.
Yeah.
You're not going to get good ratings showing a positive, you know, family, and because they feel like that's not relatable. That's not attainable. That's not real life for most. But I felt like when we had them shows, it created balance, right? Now we don't really have any balance. You can tell me one black family that's on TV that's positive, that we looking at as a role model. We don't have it, right? Why? And the ones that we have, eventually, they're going to take down. They're going to find a way to take down, because they take small problems and make them big. Right now, it's easy to deal with small problems in your household, but once they go public, they create noise. And once they create noise, you got millions of people opinions on how it went, how it should have went, and how you should handle it.
Plus, a lot of people living their lives through other people's lives. They need the drama because they don't have that type of excitement, or they don't have the relationships going on, or they don't have a group of friends that they can go out and eat with. So that's why people be so invested in that. They live in small little parts of their lives through other people. And, you know, with social media and social validation, everybody thinks their opinion matters way more than it does at this point.
I'm curious, coming from the UK, how big was reality TV like growing up in that culture? Like, do y'all watch a lot of that?
Yeah, it's massive. And obviously, we have a lot of your shows over in the UK. And then growing up back in the day, Big Brother was the one.
Like, really?
That was the one. That dominated our screens for a long time. And now, I think because of all the streaming services we have, it's become more global and international. Mm. So we have Love is Blind over in the UK, obviously. And then even Love and Hip Hop and Reality Housewives and all that is very big. In fact, they're doing the Reality Housewives of London now. So wow. It's like, yeah, the thing's gone global. So, but yeah, to second what you said as well, I think the reason why we gravitate towards the drama so much is because it makes the viewer feel a bit better about their lives. If it's like, oh, their relationship's failing, doesn't make me feel so bad about my situation. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if you're seeing nothing but positivity on the screens, I think it holds a mirror up to people sometimes when they're like, why am I doing as good as these people? And that's why I think people invest in the negativity sometimes, because it makes them feel a bit better about the shortcomings they might have going on in themselves.
For sure.
Plus, it's endless. That's how they get you every week.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, they showed out this week. Next week they're fighting again. Yeah. Like, once you caught up in the drama, you gotta stay in there, I guess.
So I gotta ask, man, like, you know, Love and Hip Hop, I feel like it's been a global phenomenon, not just a culture phenomenon. You see, it's already in the UK, even they watch Love and Hip Hop, man. When that joint came out, Love and Hip Hop New York, I think I was like a senior in high school. I'm 34, got a 7-year-old now. So I grew up watching you guys from Love and Hip Hop New York, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, your wife Yandy. You and your wife Yandy, y'all kind of like some of the biggest faces of that franchise. Just speak about, like, what it's been like from the beginning to the end, the roller coaster ride has been on that show.
You know, it took me a while to be able to join the cast because I wasn't made for TV, right? I've always been more of a private person, but I kind of was forced because she had got pregnant with our son, and everybody wanted to know who she was pregnant by. So it's kind of like forced me. And I remember from day one, they was like, well, you're only going to be a supporting cast, you know, because this show is mainly about women. So I'm like, all right, how much I get paid for that, right? So then they started to get into our relationship, and then our trials and error came, and they filmed it. We try to be transparent about, our life, and it was relatable. And also, you know, it was something different because what they had going on in Atlanta, they had Stevie J and he was doing. And now they actually show the family that wanted to be together.
Yeah.
And that was fighting to be together and was just going through situations and still fighting. Mm-hmm. So people could relate to that more, and they gravitated to that more than they was to what was going on in Atlanta or anywhere else. And that put pressure on us. It did, and we got through it, and it still has been a roller coaster for us.
Nah, for sure. Now, we were talking backstage, and you know, you said a wise man once told you, if you want your family, keep them off reality TV.
Yeah, so I remember, I had went away for a while, and I came back, and I put my family back together, right? And I talked to one of my friends. He was like, yo, you know, reality TV is cool, but and I love that you know, putting your family back together and everything. You want to keep your family together? Get off reality TV. And I didn't understand what he said because so far it been nice to us. It been calm. And a year later, things turned around and I said, damn, he said he want me.
Yeah.
If I want my family to get off reality TV, and I'll never forget that.
Nah, for sure. So any regrets with that?
I can't even say regrets, right? Because I learned through experience, right? And I can't say reality TV took us apart or broke us up or whatever it's doing. I got to take responsibility for what I'm doing, right? And me and her have to be more solid and understand that we always going to have noise. That next person or whatever in life, everybody got noise. We just have to learn to deal with them and how to deal with them. And basically, that's it. I don't regret it. It's just, you know, we just figuring things out. It's like you never stop figuring it out, right? Yeah. I can't stop people from having an opinion. I can't stop people from telling me how I should live my life. I block that out and truly try to walk in my own shoes and live my life how I see it fit. Yeah. I can't tell you the person at the Waffle House telling me how I should conduct my business.
Yeah.
Or how I should raise my kid, or, you know, and no disrespect for the person in the Waffle House, but we got two different lives.
Yeah.
You understand? Your advice might not work for me.
Mm.
I can't live yours like you can't live mine.
Plus, a lot of people who, like the fan, on the fan side, they act like they watching this live as it happens. They don't know at what time period this show was shot. This could have been last week, last month, last year. So they still trying to give you advice and, hey, man, you should have, like, bro, we've been past that in real life, but y'all just seeing it this week.
But you know, one of the dangerous things I'd be scared of is having an argument with your girl on TV, right? Because when we have an argument, I don't really think. We just say things that, you know, that you don't mean. Like, you know.
Just in the moment.
In the moment. And what I realized years ago on TV, they hold you to the fire for that for years.
Exactly. Because like, now she got 15 million women telling her how she should handle you.
I become the most disgusting man in the world. So most of the time, I don't say nothing. I don't say nothing because I know I don't want to regret saying something I might have to hear. They ain't going to let it go.
I'm curious from your perspective, man. You know, you're going on this show, you know what I'm saying? Love is Blind. You're on this show, you know what I mean? It doesn't work out in that situation when you're on that season. Then you fast forward to The Perfect Match on Netflix where you find our girl AD, who is literally probably the Cinderella for black women right now. Yeah. I mean, it's not a black woman in America that doesn't obsessively love this woman, and rightfully so, right? Yeah. I think she deserves all flowers and all the success she's having this year. But as a man, you have to, bro, you got to come in. Everything has to be on point. You don't have the opportunity to fuck up. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything you do is going to be criticized if you do something wrong. Anytime y'all argue on camera, it's going to be criticized because black women don't play about her. So I'm curious the pressure that you feel sitting in a position right now. You basically dating like the first lady of America, for real.
Literally. And, oh, man. There's so much to unpack in what you just said and so much truth in that. And you're obviously very astute in that analysis of it. It's like, when obviously I first met her, I knew, it's funny because I don't want to clear something up actually. So when I first laid eyes on Amber in the house, that was literally the first time we'd ever met and ever spoken. But there was all this talk because we had this electric chemistry and this immediate attraction for one another. There was all this speculation online, like, oh, they must have been dating before because they're both from the same franchise. They must have met at a Netflix party. And it's like, no, I caught her viewing my story prior to the show. Yeah. I already exposed it. I'll do it again. So I caught her viewing my story when my cast got announced. Obviously, being from the same show, she was pretty interested. And I was like, okay. But we never followed each other on Instagram or liked each other's stuff or DM'd each other. We never met each other on the show. I didn't really know much about her. I knew I'd seen her on her show briefly in the highlights and whatnot, but I didn't know much about her. So I was just going in blind, excuse the pun. Didn't know much about her. I didn't know she had this humongous following and was loved by America, especially black America. So I didn't feel the pressure at the time. It was only when we came out of the show, I was like, oh, wow, I'm in the hot seat here. But yeah, it's like there has been that pressure and I have felt it because as much as there's people rooting for her and wanting her to have that fairy tale ending, there's also kind of like what we spoke about earlier, there's certain people that are almost waiting on your downfall and they want to almost see her get hurt again. It's weird. You get people that really, really want that fairy tale ending, but there's other people that are kind of like, I give it a year, or she doesn't know how to pick them. Oh, here we go again. So I want to prove them wrong and prove the fairy tale hunters right. But then kind of like what you said as well, it's like, I've got nothing to prove to these people. My love is my love. My relationship is my relationship. And if I go to bed happy at night and wake up happy in the morning, as does she, I don't really care that much what people are going to think online, because there are certain people you can't change their mind regardless. Do you know what I mean? I could pull up in a horse and carriage. We could both jump out, smiles on our faces, kids looking happy and healthy.
Like one horse?
Exactly. That literally. And I could give you so many examples of times when we've done something beautiful and then people go, oh, but da 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 da. You know, when we were first get together, it's like, oh, I would wait for a ring. She got the ring and it's, oh, well, he ain't going to stick around.
He ain't getting no necklace, though.
Do you get what I'm saying? So
that's small, that's right.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's it.
So like, as much as I feel the pressure, I try not to pander to it, because like the only person whose opinion I really care about is hers and mine, and we're so happy. So if people don't want to buy into it, that's up to them, and the people that love and support us, we see you and we appreciate you.
Hey, did you get any backlash from the women in London from getting an American woman?
Nah, not so much, believe it or not. I think her biggest following is definitely in America anyway, but there was backlash because, as people would have seen on Perfect Match, I wasn't at my best. But like I said, I went into that show very unserious, not expecting to find anything real. And obviously, I dropped the ball. And, you know, the big red flag moment was when I lied to her. And there was no excuse for that. Even though I'd only known her a few days, there's never a time when it's appropriate to lie to someone that you care about or respect, or even if you don't know them. Yeah. So that's one thing I take full accountability for and responsibility for. I was wrong in that moment. And like I say, I've done a complete 180 since then, and I'm a different person. So if people want to believe that, that's up to them. If they don't, too bad. I know who I am, and she knows who I am, and we're happy and good. So would you like considered a villain on your...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Every week.
What about you?
Right now I am. Okay. Absolutely. But it's the thing. Anytime you mess with a woman's heart, and it, you know, we got to understand, reality TV is watched predominantly by women. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Men ain't watching reality TV like women. This is a soap opera 100%. Now, right? If you know, a guy ain't treating a woman right, or if they feel like he's not, they in his ass.
Right.
They hold him to the fire.
Yeah.
And they hate you because they reminded how someone they was messing with, they ain't treat them like how.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a mirror of their reflection. So they taking it very personal. And on my side, man, this is marketing. This is supposed to be shot for y'all to relate to.
Yeah.
This is how y'all trauma bond, right? That's what it is. It's trauma bonding. So, you know, it makes you think all the trauma you went through, you see this girl going through, we hate, like, we tuning in next week to see if he gonna make this right or not.
Right.
Oh, he doing more shit? Oh, I'm gonna kill. They're gonna post and say, I wish you dead.
Yeah.
It's like, they so invested in it. But you just gotta have a thick skin, because this, if you don't, you know, it could alter your life, and you're really being depression, and the mental health is real.
Yeah. Right? Especially if you're one of those people who's like putting on for people to like right. you. The right. moment that they don't like you're going to be devastated.
Listen, you cannot conform to do things only for people to like you, because then you're not authentic anymore.
Right.
Right? Now you water down. Now you watered your base down. Now the real people that liked you, we all see what you're doing.
Yeah. Right.
You're searching for validation that it ain't going to live long in you.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow, you got to keep that up. Now we know you're being fake. We know that's not the real you. The people that know you.
Yeah. But see, it bring out something else in you, too. Because like you said, we've all had those moments where we might not have been the most favorable, or the villain, or the one that they hated this week. But it's like, how you stay in there? Do you come back for the next season, or is this your last episode? Like you said, are you gonna let this break you, or are you gonna let this take you off your square? You still got business, you still got family, you still got a woman to take care of, but you're gonna let this be it? So when you go through the fire more than one time, and then you start to see, oh, they could get as mad as they want to, it doesn't change anything. That's what really... That's the defining moment.
That's real. And I think that's what's beautiful about the story that you got with AD, man. Like, this is the first time in a while we've seen a black couple, outside of maybe Cordell and Serena, just be embraced by the masses, and just, it's nothing but really positivity. Of course, you're gonna have some miserable person that lives in their mama basement that's like hating, right? But for the majority, man, y'all getting a lot of love and praise right now. I think it's refreshing to see.
Thank you.
Because we have with reality TV, man, they're constantly tearing us down, our families and things like that. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Kirk and Reseda, but like, you know, I saw a tweet the other day and it was like, man, Kirk and Reseda been dealing with this storyline of like cheating or not cheating for like 16 years and it's still going. And it's like, is that really, a lot of times you watch, like you're watching shows, like, is that really black people? That's our reality of love? Like, just toxic
not
relationships?
Not all of us, yeah. But some of us. We all went to middle school, junior high school with that couple that's still together today. They done been through everything.
I think all relationships go through a phase where they have problems, right? It's, yeah. You, it's just what reality choose to film, yeah. Right? What's important to them. It's probably more important to show the problem than the solution. The solution ain't really what they want to show. They want to get into the problem,
yeah.
and keep that problem continuing. They don't want to get to the solution because the solution is not exciting.
Right. Mm.
The solution is putting in the work. They don't want to see you put the work in because that putting the work in is boring. They want to see people going at each other.
Give up.
Yeah, go at each other. Go get a new boyfriend, get a new girl, date someone else. Let this one be mad and let them argue. Let her cut her down, he cut him. Let them fight. Hey, go to liquor, throw the drink. That's more exciting than seeing people put in the work. That's my observation of reality.
Nobody point out that they keep fighting for it, though. They trying to make it work. Yeah. Right. All of that.
Right.
Which is commendable. They could have easily given up.
For sure. So I got to follow that up. Obviously, you know, you've been in the news a lot lately. How are you right now with your wife, Yandy? How are things going? Are you guys continuing to put in the work to be in a better space?
I think every day, you know, with the noise, we find a way to challenge, you know, our relationship, our mental health, and our five children. You know, we have to be mentally strong just to block the noise out because we know what's at stake. And what's at stake is concentrated, is really raising our kids. You know, me and her, we've known each other for so long that, you know, I respect her, right? We're going to go through our disagreement. I learned to respect her even when I don't like her, right? Which is, I got to respect her. So, you know, what people see, I ain't never the person to run to the internet and going to talk shit about my wife or the children, my mother. Like, I'm just not that person. Because, like you said, that stuff lived forever. You know, how will my son respect me, see me talking shit about his moms?
Or on their hurt, in your feelings, about some bullshit.
Right, you understand? Like, I gotta control my emotions.
Yeah.
Like that's that. Let the women do that. Men don't operate like that.
For sure.
You understand? So, now, behind the scenes with me and my wife, we still just trying to figure out what's the next chapter, right? And us figuring out the next chapters between us, it's not important to let the world know what our next chapter is.
That, and you that, don't have to make that decision in front of
them. Yeah, like, we can't have that pressure. We can't allow the pressure of the outside dictate what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do things at our pace when we're ready. And when we're ready to let people know or what it is, we got to be comfortable with that. And for me, let our kids know first. Let our family know first.
Yeah.
Who are them? Who are these people?
Right.
That's real. That's real. As a father, and I get you to chime in too, because I know your father as well. What responsibility do you feel for them as far as them, you know, some of your kids are older, you know what I'm saying? So they're online. They see the comments. They see what's going on. What responsibility do you feel? Because, like, you got to be in the house with them. They got to go to school. As a parent, is there a toll that you feel, a heavy toll that you feel that you got to carry with that responsibility?
So my kids, they see stuff online. They don't really say nothing to us because they see it so present in their life,
mm-hmm.
right? So they understand that things ain't online is not what it looked like in this household.
Mm.
I see my dad taking me to school. I see my dad tucking me. My daughter gonna say, tuck me to bed. He gonna walk me to the bus. He gonna make me something to eat. I'm gonna call him. He gonna come get me. You know, I see my interaction with my mom is good, you know, because we do a great job at that. So what they see online is confusing to them. They like, well, online and TV, it's not our real life.
Mm.
Right? Because if we shoot a scene for 45 minutes and they take 2 minutes out of that scene, that's that 2 minutes was what they was interested in.
Yeah.
What about the 45? You understand what I'm saying? Like, this is their narrative. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, this is not our story, but it's going to be shaped to someone else's narrative. It's going to be told the way they want to tell it, not the way we want it. We don't have no control over that. So when the viewers watch it, I'm watching it for the first time too, and see what part of the conversation they took out, you know, and used for me. Like I was arguing with one of my producers, me and her having a conversation, and I said you. They bleeped out the word you. I gave it right back to her what she was saying to me. They bleeped out the word you.
Made it sound more intense than it actually was.
And what it did was that they favored the conversation to the woman.
Mm.
Again, women watch this show.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be in my favor. And when you know, as men, we know that these reality shows is not in our favor, we shut down or we behave a certain way because we know we don't got no dog in this fight, right? We got to know the marketing dollars that go behind this is women products.
Yeah.
They're not selling beer kits. They're not selling clippers. They're selling beauty supplies to women. They market as women.
Yeah.
It's not men. So we can't make these men come out on these conversations. We can't make these men look good. If you watch reality shows, right, and they show them the men, they're never going to show the men business.
No.
They ain't taking you showing our business. Their show is playing a video game or doing some stupid shit that don't make no sense. But they're not gonna amplify our voice or to show us in as entrepreneurs because, again, we the supporting cast. It's not for us.
Right.
You know, we come in, we gotta come in there. It's only for us when we doing dirt. That's the only time it's for us because we the casualty of this war, basically. Yeah. You know, because, again, we're dealing with women that's trauma bonding because it's women that's watching this. Yeah. Wait, men are only watching it when a girl say, "Hey, babe, watch my show with
they
me."
Gotta
he like,
sit down.
Let me be, let her be quiet. Let me watch this with my girl.
Watch her show with.
Yeah, watch her show with her.
Yeah.
And they be like, "Oh, I like that dude. Oh, that yeah, he's a oh
same thing, bro.
Oh, you like him? Look. He does that to her. I don't like him.
You better not ever.
Yeah. You better not ever.
If they give you a decent moment, you better be like him.
Hey.
And then next week, don't be like him.
That's a
so
fight.
You know you gotta understand the moments.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's real. That's real. No, I respect what you said about that. Carlos, from your perspective as a father, you're a comedian as well. Outside of just doing reality TV, man. So you know people are always gonna try to cancel you for a joke going wrong, or you just speaking your mind because you speak your mind a lot
on
things that you feel, man. What responsibility do you feel as a parent? Is there any secondhand embarrassing that you may feel for your kids when people trying to cancel you online and now your son got to go to school?
Hey, man, I from the time my child was real young, I kind of just trained them like, man, whatever it is that go on outside of this house, like you said, that's not our real life.
Mm.
That ain't work. I might have to get on here and say whatever. Or you might see me playing a character or on a script or on a movie or a TV show. All of that is work. You know what I'm saying? But nothing I do at work will ever be like, I'll have to bring it home and actually have to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't never really been an issue. He called me about stuff. He'll laugh. He'll see, like, you know, some social media stuff or, like, a topic or a trending video, whatever. And he'll hit me and be like, bro, you crazy. Because he's 16 at this point. So he got a better understanding of what TV is and what's real and what's not. And he's grown up around it. So
yeah.
It's different.
For sure. In today's era, man, is it even possible? Because I feel like, you know, you're definitely one of those legendary comedians, man. But right now in this climate that we're in, is it even possible to be your authentic comedian self and just kind of, you know, show the range in which you want to crack jokes on?
Yeah.
In the climate we live in with social media, everybody got an issue with everything.
That's the misconception, though.
Not get canceled.
Right. Because the people who online aren't the same people who outside.
Mm.
They can cancel you online all day. They could disagree with you all day. You could be trending. And then you show up at the club and all the tickets are sold out all weekend. Or you selling out the arenas or the theaters because those two different audiences. Those same people will come to the show and come to the meet and greet just to tell you, I ain't like that shit you said.
Right.
The show was good, but I don't like how you be saying that shit that you say. And plus, I'm in the business of saying stuff. So I'm not always going to say the right thing. But it's a lot of people that I don't want agreeing with me. That's kind of how you gauge it in this climate. It's like, okay, yeah, that's it's never gonna be 100%. They let me slide with a 70 that time. Okay, it's usually around 60 or half, but this time I'm hitting different pockets. So I don't never let what social media has going on dictating anything that I'm doing, because that'd be just like telling a singer that they can only sing about a certain one topic, one subject. So I can't limit myself to try to cater to other people's feelings.
Yeah, people will talk shit about your kids, man. People online is vicious. They heartless. I didn't see people, you know, say things about my kid. I'm like, wait, I don't mind you talking shit about me. My kid's off limits.
Yeah.
Right? You don't come to my page talking shit about my kids. Or sometimes what I do is I leave them there, pin the comment, and let the people in the comment attack them. I'd be like, get them.
Oh, yeah, they get jumped sometimes.
What?
Yeah, they get jumped sometimes.
So sometimes I let them battle it out. Fight again, go battle out. And the people going to speak up because wrong is wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? You don't talk about nobody's kids.
That's real. Now, I'm going to circle back to you, man, because, again, man, congrats on everything you got going with the
Thank
family.
Thank you so much.
I love to see it, man. But I got to ask, man, again, like, you know, our girl AD, she's here. She's upstairs, I think.
She's here. She's here. She's watching right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to AD, man. So, again, she's beloved by the community. She probably had, you know, easily, maybe, you know, one of the most public and, you know, biggest breakups in reality television history, you know, on Love is Blind, you know, being stood up at the aisle. I'm curious, as a man, how did you go about getting her to trust you and to let you lead her into now this beautiful family unit that you guys have now? Give us the recipe, brother.
You know, it's a good question. It's a really, really good question. And I think credit to her, she's not really let anything that she's ever been through mark her negatively as a person. I think she learned from it, she grew from it, she healed from it, and then came back just better and stronger. Like, it's amazing having met her, and again, I didn't really watch her story too tough, but like having met her for the first time and even who I know of her now, you would never think she's been through it. Like she doesn't wear it on her at all. She's such a positive, outwardly positive person. She's got a smile on her face all the time, even through the ups and downs of pregnancy. She's constantly just so positive, so smiley and so warm. So like she was ready to love again anyway. She was ready to accept that joy into her life. So, and then obviously I made the mistakes that I made on the show. That was probably more of a hurdle for me. And I think to answer your question, like, how did I get her to trust me again? It's like, there's no apology better than change behavior. Mm-hmm. So when I made my mistakes, it was rather than just, I can spit game for days. I can say all the things and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. That doesn't,
you gotta do it.
Yeah, exactly. She's smart. She's smarter than that. She's zero tolerance on lack of accountability and lack of change. So the only thing I can do is I almost say, look, it's funny because when we did have to overcome that, a lot of people tuned into the fact that like my apology seemed quite cold, because I just said, look, I did wrong and this is what I'm going to do. Because I'd rather do that than play on the emotions, go, oh, baby, I'm so sorry, get on knees and tears, because it's like, that's when it becomes like I'm trying to blind you with emotion. No, I recognize what I did wrong. I recognize what I need to do, and here's what I'm going to go and do. And I've done it. Everything I've said I was going to set out and do, I did. And I know I've kind of answered your question a bit differently, because you were talking more about the heartbreak, but I think by the time I met her, she was over that. Mm. Like I say, she's such a warm, positive person. She didn't want to let that be something that affected her going forward. But just generally, getting her to trust me has just been a case of just showing up as the man I say I'm going to show up as every single time and not faltering from that.
Yeah, that take you a long way, though.
Yeah. Nah, for real, man. You can tell, like, again, she's here on set supporting, man, so you can tell you're leading your tribe.
She's so supportive. She's like, and I do the same when she's shooting her show. I'm there in the back, and you know, we... She's like, she's more than just a partner. She's a best friend. So we do go everywhere together and support each other. And just, that's what we do. It's how, it's yeah.
Oh, I love that, man. You guys are clearly growing together,
mm-hmm.
which I think is dope to see. I saw an interview that you did in the past, and you said some of your relationships in the past have failed because you guys weren't growing together. How do you grow with someone?
It's a lot of different ways. Like, for me personally, it's the building. It's the communication. Setting goals together and doing things together. Like you said, being as supportive as a partner on the other side and on the family side. Be there for her, show up for her. Sometimes you have to be, like you said earlier, be her supporting cast. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know what I mean? Nobody's dedicated to one role. That's the family dynamic. Sometimes you have to be the utility. Mm-hmm. And as far as growing with her, it's like women love to be included. They love to be on part of your team or say that we did this. So you got to make sure that you do that. And the follow through, doing what you say. Like, women love to see the intangible things that men do. It's not just about what you can buy. Sometimes it's more about what you can do, how you can make her feel. It's showing up in those places that you weren't, that she didn't have, doing those things she didn't, that you weren't told to do. I feel like that's what makes people love you, is like being that person and just being open to it.
Medicis, I'm curious your perspective on that. Again, you've been married for years now. How do you keep growing and evolving with somebody, with your wife, Andy?
Support. Like he said, you know, like this business, you know, is it'll pull us in different directions. We got to find a way to pull us back in the same direction, right? So if we got to figure out how to be a team, right? And not just be, turn this into business. Right, we can't lose the core of our relationship, how we got here, because we two people love each other, and for a while, you know, that kept us together, and also just wanting the best for each other, not even besides each other. We got children, so as a family unit, we want what's best for our family.
My question to you, follow up to that, would be, man, what's next for you as far as putting in the work to do the to do exactly what you're saying?
Like right now, like right this minute.
Yeah. Like, what does that look like? Is it just coming home every day, communicating? Is it, let me be more courteous? Is it, let me do more dates? Let me do more affection? Like, what does that look like exactly for you, like, in your day-to-day as you try to accomplish that?
So right now, I think me and my wife are entering a new chapter, right? In this new chapter, we trying to figure out what it's going to look like before we start talking about it publicly. Right, because it's important for us to fix our shit and structure our shit and organize what we got going on before we just tell people where we at, right? Because it gotta be no pressure, right? It gotta be honest, it gotta be solid, and it gotta be strong. And that's our foundation. We already got too much noise. We got too many people pulling us in different directions. We got people that want to see us together. We got people that want to see us apart. They give people scenes just to talk shit about us, right? And they're hot like that. And that's not helpful for a relationship, right? Because I have to watch people tear her down. She have to watch me tear her down. Then we also have to watch, you know, people come with an opinion on how we should handle our relationship. We have to block out the noise and really get into us. So what's looking forward to us? I don't know, honestly. We just gonna continue to put the work in behind closed doors, and when we figure it out and we're ready to tell people, that's what we do. We let them speculate whatever they want to speculate.
Nah, absolutely, man. I do want to give both of you flowers. Like, you know, you guys in a weird place right now where people online are just being weird, giving comments, but let's give credit where credit is due, man. Y'all are both successful Black people that are married, that have a beautiful family unit, a blended family. When I see y'all on Instagram when you're doing the skits with your son, well, a lot of people don't grow up having that. So, like, that's stuff that you're doing with your kids, it's going to change their outlook on life. So how you guys show up as parents, how you guys show up as business partners, it's beautiful to see. So I know you guys are going through a transition phase, but I do wish you the best, and I do want to give you your flowers for how you're leading the child. Man,
sure. And y'all been through a lot on that show, bro.
Right.
No, from your vacation to the kids growing up, and man, it's
hard. Like, I can tell you it was easy. It's, you know, it's hard to you be forced to separation, and then it's hard to get back and try to figure things out, and, you know, that family unit, put it back together. Is even the times right now, this is one of the difficult times in my life where you know, certain things you don't see it coming. You know, you can't even paint this forecast. But life has a way of making turns, and you have to just figure it out. And, you know, it's tough. I can't even sit here and say it's not, you know. But, you know, it'll work itself out. I'm confident it will.
Nah, it always ends up working out the way it's supposed to. You know what I'm saying? I'm a firm believer in that, man. So, again, man, we wish you best of luck, man. Prayers up to how that situation is going. Carlos, I want to come to you because you actually made a quote when it comes to the family unit one time where you said, you know, when it comes to the household, you know, the man is always going to make sure everybody else in the household is good.
That's part of your job as the father. We were talking about that. It's like, it's certain parts of the happiness you're going to have to give up. to make sure the family good, to make sure the wife's straight, to make sure the kids are good. You like Christmas. You, daddy, you might just sit there and watch everybody get everything that they want. You're like, okay, that's what we worked all year for. This feeling right here, to have this house full of family, to have this food, to, this happiness, this warmth, this, okay, everybody good. I don't need nothing. I'm not tripping. That's what it is, man. When you're a protector and a provider and you're seeing that your legacy gonna live, bro. That's the most important thing. So we were saying that as men, we do have to carry a lot of stuff. We do have to be the bad guy sometimes, the disciplinarian, the one who has to say no, or the, you know what I mean? That's part of our journey as men. It's trying to find that happiness for us and keep it all together and carry those things around that are hard to say to your brother, to your lady. Some of that you just have to eat. And growing up and becoming a grown man, you start to realize that, okay, that feeling, that emptiness, that hurt that I had, that's nothing, because I know that I can deal with it. I can take that pain if that means my son gonna be straight or my daughter gonna be happy. Or my wife good, I'll take that for them. And a lot of men don't get to that point as fast as I guess the world wants us to. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think that's something that happens with age? Because I'm not gonna lie, bro, I'm 34. I think sometimes as men, we do want that validation of, you know, we're doing enough. We want those words of affirmation. You're basically saying it's like, yo, I'm cool. I'll eat that. Like, as long as everybody good, I'm cool.
I think, but it's where is that in your life, right?
Yeah.
Most men, we care about the bills getting paid then. People emotions. Like if the bills getting paid, the kids got what they need, is food in the refrigerator, like he said, I'm straight. You know, somebody else might care about other things that's not important.
Right.
We care about moving the family forward. Like, yeah, what it's gonna take as a household for us to stay together and move this family forward. We're gonna say it's okay when it's not okay.
Right.
Right? What's the sense of both of us worrying? You worrying?
But see, you got a wife, so you know how important it is for her to feel the financial stability and the emotional stability.
Right. For sure.
So that's why they always say you can't just throw money at problems. Sometimes it's not something you can pay for. It's not something you can buy. It's the having that real hard conversation or tapping into those emotions and being emotionally open to let her tell you how she feel about what you did.
Yeah.
And not being able to go do something about it. You just have to take it. You got to hear it. Sometimes that's the trade-off that you have to trade off to make that progress so you can have that new start or so you can start that new foundation. And sometimes you don't get to just buy your way out of it. You just have to sit in it and apologize. Yeah.
Accountability. Go a long way.
Not getting the words of affirmation, not getting the reassurance that you are doing a good job. You feel like you don't need that. Do you feel like that's going to have an effect on you where it's like you're the only person in the household that's suffering, that's not getting outlet or somebody to lean on? Does that toll get overbearing?
Hey, man, that's why your dad cry when you get grown and you tell him you love him. That's why granddaddy sit there and he don't know what to say when you say, I love you, pop, and he just... He been holding that. He didn't know that moment was the one that was going to make him. You know what I mean? He been sacrificing for this family for the last 40 years.
Is that healthy, though?
So my validation comes in a form of when I walk in the house and my daughter running to me and my son face light up when he see me.
Yeah.
Those small things is my validation. Like, you know, when my kids... you know, going out their way to please me, or my woman going out her way to please me, is showing me I'm doing the right thing, because someone that loves you want to be around you. Someone that loves you want to make you happy. Someone you can see I can see the excitement on my daughter's face or my kid, my sons or my wife when I just walking through the door. That's all I need. I don't need the praise, verbal validation. I don't need that. Your actions show me. When, you know, when a woman cook you some food, you know, you're coming home and bring it to you. Here's your, that's validation right there, that you're doing the right thing. So it shows up in ways for me that, you know, words can't describe.
Okay. That's fair. Ali, I'm curious your perspective on that.
Nah, I'm different. Say it. I need to hear you say it. I don't know. I think I've always been that way, but I think as well, it's a bit like love languages as well. Like you, you kind of touched on that. It's like, because I'm a very verbal person with, like, in relationships with family and with friends, like, I'm very much like, even with, if it be with my boys, I might say, you're killing it, man. I'm really proud of you. And if my girls are going to be like, oh my God, you look beautiful. So I don't know. I do like to, maybe it's, I'm neurodiverse as well. So I think sometimes things need to be laid out quite literally. Like, I won't always pick up on the little cues like, no, I love you because I cooked you dinner, or right. I appreciate you because I did whatever. I think I sometimes need to hear it laid out like, I really appreciate you because of X, Y, and Z. And I'm very, very lucky because Amber's like that. She's very forthcoming with compliments and praise when I'm showing up in the way that she wants me to. So I do get that. But again, it's that doesn't mean that my way is right and your way is wrong. It's, I think it's everyone experiences and gives love in different ways, and whatever works for you works for you. But I do kind of try to chime in a little bit and say, is it healthy that we have to wait until we're a granddad to hear I love you, pop, and then it's like the tear comes down. We should have, why should it only be the women that are getting that throughout their life, and we have to wait until we're in our rocking chair to finally get that verbal validation? So I kind of, because my dad was the same. My dad was a very hard-nosed Jamaican man who was very much like, didn't wear his emotions on his sleeves at all. To this day, I've never seen my dad cry. But like, yeah, how healthy is that? So I try and break that cycle a little bit, but I still wear that where it's like, men ain't supposed to cry, but I'm also recognizing that we probably should be more, feel more free to be a bit more vulnerable but and a bit more forthcoming with the conversation, because communication is key to everything. So I don't know, I'm kind of stuck between the two where it's like, I want to be that stoic man, but I also want to be free to say, hey babe, I'm struggling with this and I need to hear you say you love me and I'm doing right. But, and as well, that's how we learn, that's how we know we're doing right. Because, but again, maybe you're better at picking up on the subtle cues, like, I know I'm doing good, I got a home-cooked meal today, whereas for someone like myself, I need to hear it more. But whatever works for the individual is right. But yeah, I think for me, I like the forthcoming communication. So yeah.
See, me and I was raised around, though, they all, I guess it's kind of just like how I was reared. It's like, you don't always get, you sometimes when things are going right, you don't get any feedback because you're doing what you're supposed to do. So that's why I feel like sometimes, like, damn, all you do is criticize, or all do is point out what's wrong. It's like, because when things are going right, you doing what's right. So ain't nobody gonna sit there and be like, good job, come on, keep going, keep pushing, you got it. It's like, hey, tighten up.
Yeah.
Come on now. Keep pushing.
Yeah, I think I've been told so many lies. I want you to show me. Like, just don't even tell me. Just show me. If you love me, you got to tell me. Just show me you love me. Like, you meet a person one week, 2 days, they say they love you. Like, you don't even know me. Mm. You understand how you love me? You don't know me. Instead, you know, if it's real love, you feel it. Yeah. It's a feeling that you'll feel. I don't. The words don't really mean nothing to me. Like, I want to feel your love.
That's real.
I hear that too.
Like that's just action based.
Yeah.
You love someone, you're gonna go to the end for them. You do that, like, you're gonna make sure they feel your presence.
Okay. Yeah. That's real. How much power can a woman have over your confidence? I'm curious because you said you don't need the words of affirmation. So how much power can a woman have over your confidence? I'm gonna be honest. I feel like a woman can make or break your confidence, especially a woman that you care about. So I'm curious.
Well, they play a big part in your confidence, right? Because just say, for instance, a woman can make you feel like you're the top of the world, how she treats you, right? Now, when she start to ignore you and you know, start paying other people some attention, you start to feel like you're less than. So your confidence and your insecurities kick in, like, damn, I'm him.
I was him.
You thought you were.
Like, I was him.
Like, what happened to Himothy? Like, you understand what I'm saying? So it could either build you up or break you, but you always got to be comfortable in who you are. You got to know who you are. Yeah. You can't let a woman have that much control of you to dictate if you him or if you not him. You got to believe you're him no matter what. No matter what anybody tell you, you got to. That's a you thing.
That's real. But like you said, it can 100% break you too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can really break you, because if you invest so much into this other person, it's like after a while, it's like your confidence is kind of connected to the way she feels or the way she's treating you at the moment, because you have that bond. That's why it takes men a little bit longer to bounce back after a real relationship. Not just dealing with somebody, but if you had something that you was invested in, you can't just bounce out of that and go to something else. Or you could, but it's definitely not gonna work. That's the hard part about it. Like, as you get older, you start to realize, like, once you come from a real relationship or a real heartbreak, the next couple ain't gonna really work out like that. Because you're still trying to put them pieces together, whether you want to admit it or not.
Nah, that's real. That's real. I'm curious your thoughts on that. How much power AD has over your confidence, black man?
A lot, man. Like I say, I'm very lucky. She's like my biggest supporter.
Yeah.
She bigs me up a lot. But at the same time, she's honest enough to let me know if and when I'm going wrong, or even down to that, the surface level things, like, nah, not that jacket. Wear the other one. Do you get what I'm saying? But like, I don't think women generally should have that much power, but like, your woman should, her opinion should matter to you a lot, and she has the power to like bring you right up or like humble you a little bit if need be. Because I could get, like, if I post something, I could get 30,000 likes and 200 comments of women saying whatever, don't care. But when I see Amber Desiree said, yeah, do you know that's what I mean? Like, that's my woman, do you get what I'm saying? I couldn't care less about what anyone else thinks. It's that's my woman, and that's like, I'm not saying I revolve my life around trying to impress her or appease her per se, but like, of course, like, that's the person you care about the most, that's the person you're with the most, so you want her approval. And yeah, like I say, I'm very, very lucky. She's my biggest supporter and lets me know when I'm doing good, and quietly lets me know when I need to tighten up. So yeah, I'm very lucky.
I saw an interview where you said most men, you mature, you know, over time and then get in a relationship.
Yeah.
You actually said you matured to be in a relationship with her, or the relationship with her helped you mature.
100%, 100%. And like, so much of that came from the show itself, and then the fact that we very quickly decided we were going to continue our relationship after the show. And like, I went into that show, as I've said, and I've been open previously, where I went in there thinking it was going to be like one big boys vacation, because that's kind of how it's pitched. The show itself doesn't take itself that seriously. And you know, having seen previous seasons, I thought I was going to go in there, have a good time, be at the beach, drinks and whatnot, and then go home. And then I met this woman who, like, blew my mind and made me realize, no, I need to change in this. And I made mistakes that let me know, like, I'm not going to get away with this again. I don't want to be in a position where I've got asked to be getting away with this again. So I met someone that was, like, for the first time, kind of, without telling me where I needed to change, showed me that I needed to change and made me feel that like there was things that I needed to change, or I'm not going to be able to have this amazing woman in my life for much longer. So and she leads by example as well, because she's such a good communicator. That made me tighten up my communication, and kind of what we were saying a minute ago, she's not someone who'll be like, you don't do this enough, you don't do that enough. She will always positively reinforce the things I'm doing right. Like, very early on in the show, she was like, I love how you advocate for me behind my back when I need something, you'll tell someone I need this. Or I love how you are really vocal in how you like me in front of people. And I was like, those positive reinforcements just kept adding up, and it all amalgamated into this positive change that I never expected to see in myself, especially off the back of a show like that. So yeah, some people tighten up and then go find the one. I was in a bit of a crazy Jack the Lad state when I met her, but then meeting this amazing person made me tighten up, and I'm so glad it did, because I'm 10 times better than I was. So yeah, shout out to her.
So you hearing you say that made me appreciate that type of love being rare. Can you imagine if you just met good women all the time and you just...
Hey, bro, change your life.
Man, you gotta change every day. What are you doing, bro? I am back in school again.
Yeah, no, that's real.
Yeah.
That's real, man. I'm curious, like, when you guys, you're public figures, you're living your life on these reality shows. But then again, we just talked about it off camera, about having to show up and still be a person, be a father, be a boyfriend, fiance, husband, all these things, and carrying the mental health. It's a toll that we carry on our mental health. I'm curious, like, how are you guys coping with it? Are you guys seeking therapy with that?
I'm currently in therapy, yeah. No, and again, I don't think it's necessarily a case of having something major that I need to fix. It's just a case, it's like that ongoing tweaking and just making sure you're staying right. Like, you don't just take your car into the garage when it's broken down. You take it in for a regular service to keep it going right. And it's the same thing for me with therapy. And it's like, yeah, just making sure I'm always the best version of myself that I can be. And no one's the finished product. So there's always things that I can be open to learning about and making myself a better person, so I can show up as a better person in life, a better partner, and a soon-to-be better father. So yeah, I want to make sure that I'm the best version I can be, because I'm not just dependent on, it's not just me that's dependent on me anymore. I've got a wife and soon daughter that's dependent on me, so I've got to show up right.
For sure, for sure.
What? No, I'm not in therapy. I'm not.
He said what?
I mean, I don't want them to fix me yet. I'm good. I'm a comedian. I'm an entertainer, bro. So every time I get on the stage, it's therapeutic. And plus, you know, getting some money, going from not having some money to getting some money, that was real therapeutic. I promise you, all my woes went away. I ain't been sad in a long time, my boy. For real, for real. So, yeah, I'm gonna do it delayed though, like later on. Cause if they fix me right now, I might not be able to do what I need to do. Mm. You get what I'm saying? So I'm gonna go later.
So you use your talent as a vice for real?
My talent is a vice, and I'm talking as shit been sweet too. Like the bro, I'm living a great life. I'm happy. I'm really happy, despite everything, the money, the success, the everything. It's been good. So I'm happy, but I'm gonna go later. I'm just not ready to go yet.
I respect that.
I found a good little pocket, and I'm gonna stay there.
Yeah, I'm in therapy. It's for couples and by myself because it's just sometimes communication is key. And when you got your blinders on and you being stubborn or your partner being stubborn, you need a referee. Mm. You know, you really need a referee in the middle of it because shit is so loud, we can't hear each other right now, right? We it's only one of us can talk at a time. So, and then by myself, because it like, I have friends that let me know when I'm doing something wrong, right? Because I can be stubborn sometimes, and I know me. And it's very important for people that love me and someone to point out, you know, nah, you thinking, you wrong. Mm. You're wrong, and it helps me realize and you know to be better. Like he said, I want to be fixed. I don't know about him. He,
not yet.
I'm ready to be fixed. I'm ready to be fixed all around the board. I want to be fixed. I don't want to be. You know how you get older, you start to get stubborn. Like they say,
yeah.
Stubborn old bastard. Yeah. Yes. Like I don't want to be that. I got brothers and stuff. They get very stubborn, and I just want to
cranky and
shit. Yeah, they argue for every little thing. Hey, yeah. Would you put that cup? I'm like, you know how the old folks. I don't want to be that. Yeah. So, I think it just create balance, and it's much needed.
For sure, I think it's a thin line. For sure, I think where you can use the pain and the trauma to help motivate you for your craft.
I still got a few more little things I gotta do.
Yeah,
and I'll go later. I promise y'all, I'm going to go later. I'm not just talking shit. I'm going to go later. For real. Stop, man. I'm going to go. I promise, bro. I'm going
to
go.
Hey, right, we're going to hold you to that now. Bro, it's on camera now.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go. I only went to therapy one time. I was on this one show.
One time?
Well, it was just one time. They had to make sure I was good. I didn't even go to therapy. I just had to talk to the lady.
You literally did it for a bag.
You know how you talk to the lady? No, I lost the money. That's why they made you talk to the lady.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Some shows, they got a therapist waiting for you for the show to be able to, your mental, because this is your mental health.
Yeah, because I had lost the money. It was like $250,000.
Oh, yeah.
And then, before they let you go home, they were like, nah, go talk to the lady.
I'll be therapy.
Make sure you don't go home and do
that. And then come back and everybody.
Yeah, you feel me? So, yeah.
Nah, I feel it, man. Like I said, man, it's a thin line for sure. I can see both sides. But I'm glad that you are willing, and I'm glad that you guys are already putting in the work, man. It's needed, man. For black men, the toll that we carry, man, this shit get heavy.
This therapeutic. We need more platforms like this, man, because as black men, we're a couple hundred years behind just talking to each other. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like that could be a real game changer if we could really just sit down and get some of these thoughts and ideas out and start building from there.
No, absolutely, man. I appreciate it, man. That's the point of this show, man, for the fellas, man. We here to bring black men together like yourselves, man. Just have real conversations and be yourself and talk about what you're going through, man. I think we accomplished that today and put in the work. I think we got some good dialogue that a lot of people appreciate. So I'm glad that you guys took the time to be here, man. When I look at you, bro, a legendary comedian, man, I grew up watching you, bro, to see where you at, to still be yourself. You know what I'm saying? You could easily, you were a superstar. You could easily walk around and lose yourself in the fame and the money, but you still grounded, man. You still being ATL, man. You a hometown hero. We don't have too many black men like that, brother. Like, I want you to know that. Like, a lot of our brothers, they get lost in the fame. So to see you here after all the years of success, still be here, still be that hometown hero and get that feel, man, is needed for the community. Like, we need you. You know what I'm saying?
That's the fuel for me, though, as a comedian. I got to kind of be the bridge between the industry and the people. Yeah. I got to be able to do both. I got to go to the industry and work, then I got to come back to the people and see what's going on and kind of play the middle of both parts. So, man, I appreciate all the people around me and the city and, you know, the places that I go, all the love that I get on the outside. So that's why I say just, you know, the hate don't really mean nothing and the opinions don't mean nothing. It's too much love. And places that I never expected to get it, so it's dope.
Absolutely, absolutely. Man, DC, same here, man. Like, bro, I get you gunning with, you're dealing with a weird time right now when it comes to social media, bro, but I want you to know, bro, you're still a staple in our community. You beloved. What you represent as a father, for me, somebody who's a young father, I have a seven-year-old, man. Like, I aspire to provide that type of lifestyle and that foundation for my kids, bro. So don't worry about the comments, man. Like, you solid, you solidify in what you and who you are as a man and what you bring to the table, bro. We need more black men like you that's taking care of the household, leading our wives the right way, leading our children the right way, man. So, you know, as another black man to a fellow black man, I appreciate what you're doing, man. It's a positive image for sure. Absolutely, man. Same here with you, Ali. What you've been able to accomplish, man. Coming from a reality show, people always are going to question what's real and what's fake. Meeting you guys today, seeing you both here, I don't think it's a question of how real the love is, man. It's beautiful to see. It's inspiring for me, for somebody who wants to be married one day and have a family, man. I love to see what you guys got going on. Keep leading your child the right way. And keep treating our girl AD the right way, because we already know you black women are going to be after you, brother.
They're going to take your head off.
Exactly. I got a whole army of people keeping me accountable, so don't worry, I'm good.
Nah, absolutely, man. Again, thank you guys for being here, man. And for anybody watching, no here for the fellas, we're going to continue to push dialogue and conversation that matter. I can't thank our BT family enough for granting this space to be here with black men and just having healthy conversations that matter. So we'll see you guys next time on For the Fellas, and keep it live for who we're going to have, man. I really appreciate you guys being here.
My name is Carlos Miller.
This is me in DC.
I'm Ollie, and this is For the Fellas on BET.
Nah, this shit was dope.
You got your frenzy.
Man, I appreciate that for real, bro.
Thank you so great.
Nah, it's love, bro. I appreciate it.
I know it's my easy, so.
The picture you
made. Nah, for sure.
I think you can really know. Yes.
I
hope so.
Switch gears. I said,
I love the way you start that intro. That was sick. Hey, I love that, man.
What's up, y'all? This is me and DC. We watching For the Fellas on BET. This is me and DC. Y'all know who the fuck I am.